Our reading this morning won't be a surprise to you because it has much to do with light. If you don't understand that after leaving this service, it's not much hope. Okay, so last week we read the Beatitudes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. And Jesus goes on with his teaching. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled under the foot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is God's holy word. Would you pray with me? Once again, we receive these teachings of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you'll come and open our hearts and our minds. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus is pretty bold in his statements. he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There's no precondition here. Jesus doesn't say, you need to make the honor roll, then you're the salt of the earth or the light of the world. He doesn't say that you need to have a PhD, and then you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say you have to line up with all these expectations and then you can be the salt and then you can be the light. He says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Now think for a minute about who he's talking to. First of all, he's talking to the disciples. So far, we know that four of them are fishermen. They've been fishing all their life. He doesn't say you need to be a fisherman and then you are the salt of the earth or you are the light of the world. We also know from chapter 4 that Jesus has been out teaching. He's been healing the sick. He's been mending the lame, letting the blind see. So these folks are included in this, the crowd. Jesus says to the marginalized, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I think that's pretty profound. If you're a middle school student and you come to school someday and you hear all day long that you're nobody, that you get put down, that you get called names, that on social media you read at night how people feel about you and it's not good, how would it feel to a child to hear Jesus say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I think that's profound. Especially in this day and age, my goodness, we hear from politicians, people calling people names, people putting people down, people making a differentiation between who's good and who's bad. It's not what the text tells us. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's powerful. Why salt of the earth? Why did he choose that? Well, because like what the children said this morning, it gives flavor. It's important. I read where Roman soldiers were paid in salt. That's how important it was. I read this too, and I'm not going to do anything with it, but it says that the brides and grooms would rub themselves with salt because it would make them more fertile. I'm not going to go there. I'm not sure how that works. But I guess it's to say that it was pretty important in those days. It preserved food. In the Old Testament, Elijah used it to purify water. It's pretty important. I remember gargling salt water to get rid of a sore throat. It's pretty effective. So salt is pretty important. And Jesus says, you are pretty important. You are a light. In the midst of darkness, you are the light. I don't know, how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel good about yourself? I hope it does. Parker Palmer is a writer. He reflects a lot on theology and religion. He says, when you come to me with a deep question, you're not looking to be saved or fixed. You're looking to have your truth acknowledged and honored. When you come to me with your deep questions, you're not looking to be fixed or to be saved. You're looking to have your truth honored, the knowledge that you have honored. I think that's pretty profound as well, because we put so many limitations on people. We've divided people. There's the good and the bad. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what Parker Palmer says either. When I was a middle school principal, I was in northeastern Iowa, Starmont Community School District. And I had a student come to me. I was on the phone in my office when the student came to the office. He was sent by the teacher. And the child sat outside my office until I got off the phone. So he sat there for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. After I finished the phone, I went out and found out that this student had been sent, supposed to speak to me, so I invited him in. And I've never had a child do this before. He's probably a seventh or eighth grader. And I invited him to sit in the chair. So he took the chair and he pulled it up to my desk. So I'm behind the desk. He's in front of the desk. And he's got his hands, his arms on the desk. And he's leaning into me. I could tell that he's got something that he wants to say. And before I said anything, he says, Mr. Kuhn, I've got this all worked out. He said, I know what I need to do. I called the kid a name and I need to apologize. And I need to apologize to the teacher, and I need to apologize to the whole class. He says, I'm really, really sorry. I've never done this before. This is my first time. He says, he started to switch from I to we. He says, I don't think we need to call my parents on this one. I didn't say anything. This child, this student, just kept telling me what he needed to do. He knew the answer. He knew what had to have happen. So all I said to him was, well, are you ready to apologize? He said, yes. He said, let's go do it. So he included me in on this. So we went up to the classroom. The teacher let the student out, who he'd called the name. He apologized to the student. The teacher came out in the hallway. He apologized to the teacher. He said he wanted to apologize to the whole class. The teacher let him in. He apologized to the whole class. And then he sat down. I walked back to my office. And I noticed there was something under the chair that he sat in before he talked to me. And I looked real closely. There were 10 fingernails under the chair. While he sat there, he had chewed each one of his fingernails off. So he was really worried, and he was thinking pretty hard, and he had come up with this resolution. When you come to me with your deep questions, you're not asking to be saved or to be fixed. You're asking us to acknowledge and to honor your wisdom. Jesus tells the people, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He tells us also that our righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, the Pharisees and the scribes know the text pretty well. They know the Old Testament. And they're also trying to preserve it. So what Jesus asks us to do is to not just read and listen and hear. He wants us to exceed the scribes and the Pharisees by doing. The scribes and the Pharisees believe that God would take care of things. Let's just let God handle what's going on. Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law, And I came to show you, to demonstrate, to model how we're supposed to behave. That very same thing happened to Dr. King. If you remember, the letter to the Birmingham jail was referenced a couple weeks ago. And in that, the pastors in Birmingham had told Dr. King not to push the civil rights thing. They said, let the courts do it, let the legislation do it, let Congress take care of this. Dr. King says, no, that's not going to work. We have to be the ones to do this. Dr. King also says in that letter that the church used to be the thermostat. He says, now the church is only a thermometer. The church is only registering what's going on in the culture. He said the church is supposed to set the example. The church needs to be the thermostat. How are we doing with that? How are we being the thermostat? If we are the salt of the earth, if we are the light, then we're called to go forth and to share this good news with those that we come in contact with. It's not an easy thing to do, but we're called to be the light. We're called to be the salt. I remember salt being used to make homemade ice cream. As a child, I learned to, with the White Mountain ice cream freezer, I learned how to crank that thing. And it was part of our responsibility when we made homemade ice cream for everybody to take a turn at it. Most of us wanted to get at the beginning of it. It's a little easier, right? When it gets harder, we had to turn it over to Dad, because he's the only one that could push the handle. And you know, it takes salt, it takes ice in order to make that stuff that's in the middle turn into ice cream. It takes some grit in order to get to the grace. It takes us to rise up, to be this light, to be this salt. We need to pour it out. If we don't pour it out, then salt can become stale, and we can become stale. Last Thursday night, a week ago, Lindsay and I asked leaders of the church to come forward and to spend an hour and a half with us in the evening to talk about what leadership means in the church. What does that look like? And I wanted to share with you some of their insight. Because once again, if we are the salt of the earth, if we are the light of the world, without any conditions, if we do have wisdom to share, what would that look like? And I want to share with you what these leaders shared. What's the light of the world? What's the salt of the earth in relationship to leadership in the church? It's the ability to work through conflict. It's the ability to have difficult conversations. It's a willingness to speak the truth. It's being open to feedback. It's being honest, transparent feedback and communication. It's the ability to ask difficult questions. It's the ability to draw out differing viewpoints. It's a willingness to question things. It's being respectful of others. It's being a compromiser, a collaborator, a consensus builder. It's adapting as necessary. It's the glue that holds the group together. It's being aware, seeking input. Being a leader in the church is being a liaison between congregation and staff. It means being a facilitator, ability to focus the group, know what to expect from others. Those are some of the things that the leadership came up with, is what it means to be a leader in the church. It seems to me that they are the salt of the earth. They are the light. You're not coming to me when you come with a deep question to be fixed or to be saved. You're coming to me to have your truth honored and your wisdom honored. I know of a high school principal in the state of Washington. I heard him speak at a brain development workshop. And he told the story about how he went from having hundreds of suspensions in his school and expulsions to having zero. I mean, everybody that was there was an educator, so they sat up on the edge of their seat. How did you do this? How did you get from hundreds of suspensions to zero? And he told about the time when, on one particular day, a student was lighting his Bic lighter in the classroom. The teacher asked him to put the Bic lighter away. The student refused. He kept flicking it. Finally, the teacher, exasperated, sent the boy to the office. High school student. And the principal said, well, what's going on? He said, well, I was lighting my Bic lighter in class. So the principal took the Bic lighter, opened up his drawer, and threw it in the same drawer with all the other Bic lighters he had collected. And then he suspended him. He said, you need to go home. When he sent him out the door, he got to thinking about, he never asked the boy why he was lighting the Bic lighter. So the principal left the office, got in his car, to try and find the student, which he did. He had the boy get in the car, and he said, you know, I never asked you what that was all about. Why were you lighting your Bic lighter in class? He said, because when we were at breakfast this morning, my mom came downstairs, and she looked at all of us, and she said, I'm leaving you. I'm walking out of here. I'm tired of being mom, and you'll never see me again. That's what mom told that kid that morning. The principal realized that he was acting out. The principal said, my mother never said that to me. My mother never checked out. She was always there for us. What would it be like to have your mother tell you, as a high school student, I'm never coming back? He made a vow that day that he would never, ever suspend another kid again. That the wisdom and the insight that they had should be enough to let him know what's going on and what the school needed. So they had to work really hard, and they had to hire a few more people. But whenever a child got in trouble in that high school, they were no longer suspended. That was never an option. They went from hundreds of suspensions to zero. Because the principal was interested in finding out what was going on in the child's life. That makes a huge difference. Doesn't it? When you see a child or see someone else and say, you are the light of the world, how would that make us feel different toward that person? How would we see this person? If we look at that person and say, you are the salt of the earth, would there be so much division in our country if instead of tearing each other down, that we looked at each other and said, you are the light of the world? On my Friday afternoon, when I'm with the women at the prison, one of the things we talk about is, how do you reorient yourself? When you know that you're not who you really are, under addiction or whatever it is you're dealing with, how do you get yourself back to being where you're supposed to be? One of the women said, I go to prison. At prison, I dry out. I'm no longer addicted. I make sense of my life. But she said, I cannot do that by myself. I cannot reorient myself and get myself back to where I'm supposed to be. Even though she is the light of the world, even though Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. I told her, I said, you know, acknowledging that you can't do that by yourself may be the beginning of healing. She needs a family. She needs some people to be with her. She needs the church, perhaps, to tell her that you are the light of the world. One of the lessons that we have says, we are the ones that we've been waiting for. We're always expecting some leader to rise up amongst us, to be the person to show us the way. There's nothing wrong with that, but then we just dump all that responsibility onto that leader. We are the ones that we've been waiting for, because Jesus says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We no longer have to wait for that leader because we have that ability, that desire, that skill, that wisdom inside of us. Bob Farr told me a story the other day about a boy who came home to his grandmother after spending the morning at Vacation Bible School. And he said, "Grandma, I learned a new song today." And she said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "It's This Little Light of Mine." Evidently, he didn't know what a bushel basket was, or he only heard the word bush. So Grandma says, "Well, tell me how it goes." And he goes, "Hide it under a bush? Hell no. I'm going to let it shine." Grandma, I've never heard that rendition before. "Hide it under a bush, a bushel basket? No. We're going to let it shine. We are the light of the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Join me. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Amen. With God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we are the ones that we've been waiting for. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Go out into the world. Be the love of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.